Hey guys, welcome to episode 73 of 4Play and Cast. It is the 29th of July, deep in the middle of summer, and we are, of course, going through the new anime. Or, I mean, I guess they're only slightly new. We're already, like, most of them are already three or four episodes in, so we should be pretty deep in, one third of the season-ish. But yeah, we've been watching a lot of shows that come out recently, and we'll be doing more of that as the weeks come on. But here with me are the usuals. Near, what's up?
Hello.
What have you been
Well,
up to recently?
a lot of things.
All things.
Well, first of all, Savage Raids came out in FF14, so I've been doing that. Very,
But what are those?
very frustrating. Savage Raids are the raids that are hard.
So hard mode raids?
Yeah, they're for the hardcore players. Yeah, those are fun, those are frustrating. I watched Kizumonogatari Part 2
Right.
because Kami finally subbed it.
Kami's still at 99.8% on Mahoyo.
Yeah, it only took them almost I think half a year. But they did it.
On that
So,
note, by the way, I think 3 days ago, Kimi no Na wa, Your Name, BD, and which includes English subtitles came out, I believe. So,
yeah, I haven't watched that yet. I don't know. I'm not too excited about that. But whatever. I watched. What did I watch? Oh yeah, I watched two episodes of Princess Principal, and I've actually started watching Noir, which is an older series.
Okay, so mostly kind of staying off that like lighter end. I see. Okay, so that's that. And dark. Hello.
I have been keeping up with the same stuff essentially. Watched Tenshi no Sanpi and am still not in prison, surprisingly. I'm not in
Yeah,
jail yet. I'm
to
getting
be
there.
fair, Tenshi no Sanpi does what it wants to do well, and again,
Yeah,
that's the
like
same
put all
argument
its
I made
viewers
for.
in prison.
Yeah, that's the same argument I made for Chun Tale. It's cool. All right, go on.
I also watched Princess Principal. Watched Gamers because I am a gamer. What else did I do? I watched like some other stuff. Finally finished the old seasons of Sinfogear, so now I'm on the newest one, but I haven't started that yet. So that's cool. Still haven't finished an episode of Hajimete no Gao, but I'm getting there. I'm like halfway through, so one of these weeks I'll finish a full episode. I think that's about it. I mean, PSO2 has that new class that's pretty cool that I'm playing. So,
All right, then last but not least, Toast. What have you been up to recently?
hello.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, what have you been up to recently?
Hello. All
All right, good talk. All right,
right,
thanks,
nice,
Toast.
man. Anyways.
Podcast adjourned. See you next time.
All right, so we'll get
Sorry,
back
I'm
with
too busy watching the Crunchyroll marathon, 6 days of anime sponsored by Twitch.
you. Is it still Joker game?
I think it is.
Why would you
Great.
watch that?
Cause it's free and it's sponsored by Twitch.
It's fucking boring,
Wow,
dude.
all
I
those
mean,
shows are free on their fucking website with shitty
eating shit
commercials.
is also free, but that doesn't mean you do it, right? Like,
6 days of
let us
anime
not be
sponsored
lemmings
by
here.
Twitch on Twitch TV slash Twitch Presents, sponsored by Crunchyroll.
All right. Anyways,
Yeah, don't worry, you'll hear more about that in callouts.
yeah, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to Toast a little bit later, but with that, we should probably move on to our first subject. Again, we have like a lot of series to go through in this, and as well as the next maybe couple of episodes, so it's gonna be pretty jam-packed. Anyways, Dark, what did you want to talk about?
Man, I want to talk about games. Playing them
Gamers.
for the fun of the game. Yeah, let's talk about gamers, and let's talk about how it's not that good, and let's talk about how it's okay. But
so is it okay? Let me, and I know this
start
this
me
seems...
off because I'm not sure where to start, to be honest.
So I'm gonna, well, okay. So gamers is like, it's the rom-com backbone with a sprinkle of, with a dash of game themed, or with a sort of like plastic spine of like game themed, game, not game themed more. There's game trivia, like game trivia, and like, I don't want to say references to what. I don't want to say references to what gamers are like, because it's not really like
that.
Is it
the Umaru of gaming?
Almost, actually. Almost. Funny you should say that.
But since I said it is mainly a rom-com background. You know, there are some pairs going around. You know, MC plus sidekick plus, you know, three girls mainly hang around video game club, and they do.
What kind of
games
do they play?
Want.
Is it like there's no girls in real life, is it MMO?
It's not as
games?
Intense as that. It's like it's a little bit more like spread around. But they get together and then they talk about, you know, games and gamers and stuff like that.
Oh my god, I'm gonna fucking kill
what
you.
What kind of games? This is the important part.
Well, get to it. They're in a game club. They play games in general.
What kind of video games? Board games?
All of the above, Toast. If it's a game, they play it.
Yes. What word association?
That's kind of the point.
What about pick up sticks?
Fuck,
oh my
dude.
God.
They have an episode about that.
Do they play Twister?
Oh my god, shut the fuck up. Alright, anyways, so they go around, but it's mainly... it's mainly focused around the rom-com aspect of it. It is done by... What is it done by? Oh, it's done by Pine Jam. They haven't really done it much, right? Yeah, they haven't done much except for...
What is Pine Jam?
They're the people who helped out with Getsuyobi no Tawa, the thing that, like, the Sword Art Online draw or whatever, like, made.
Kimura,
you know, that animation?
He's the one who draws Sword Art Progressive.
Excuse me. So yeah, they helped out with that, but Pine Jam is very, very new. They haven't done anything really big yet.
So shorts, essentially, is what they've done.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyways, Dark, you want to talk a little bit about, you know, your experience watching this? Obviously, I think I've watched this, but Nier or Toast, have you guys watched / read any of this?
No.
I know the art style's kind of jank. That's about it.
Okay.
Alright, so going off of that, I guess first thing, audio visuals, I guess I can talk about. Overall, they're okay. They're pretty like serviceable and standard. They're not bad. They're not like outstanding either. They try and do some things in the first episode that I give them props for trying to do, with like having text, I don't want to say overlaid, but you know that sort of effect when there's like floating text in like a scene and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
They tried to do that. So like the title was above a building in the first shot, like the very first shot.
Yeah, I remember
instead
that.
Of it being like, you know, over the actual... entire like screen or something. So I give them props for trying to do that. The only problem is that the show itself, like Spyro saying, has that like sort of rom-com backbone, or that rom-com thing with like a
focus. Yeah.
Yeah, the rom-com focus, but with like, you know, the games being the backbone. But the I don't know. I feel like they're going too little on both ends of the spectrum. Like, they're not really doing enough with the rom-com, and they're not doing enough with the games all at the same time.
Yeah, they're trying to... The issue is, it's like, I feel... Well, this is a little bit advancing the conversation a little bit fast, but they also have, like, a third end that they want to accomplish that we haven't... that you didn't mention, or I haven't mentioned it either, but it's the whole, like, you know... What are gamers like? Like, how should gamers interact? How should gamers interact with society? Stuff like that. And they're also trying to handle that a lot of the time. Like, oh, I'm like a nerd, or I'm just like gamer, but how do I interact with these normal people?
They're like real Jews, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then they do cover that, you know, especially in episode like two or so, like at the end of episode two, a little bit in episode three, now that I just skimmed a little bit of it. But because they're trying to do that also at the same time, they're not handling it all very well because they have a lot on their plate they need to cover. But the issue is, even if they did, you know, cover all, even if they were able to cover each of that like separately, I feel like they're not very used to it. They're not very, like, none of the writers are very sort of like keen on any of these topics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You say they don't play video games?
No, I mean, I definitely say they probably do, because
they play video games, but are they
professional? They're not professional.
Are they, you know, not experienced enough in sort of how this like cultural phenomenon works, and is sort of able to talk about them in detail is another question, right?
Especially when it comes to non-Japanese sort of genres like FPSs. They clearly.
I really hate that shit. Like, yeah, it's so painful. And that's not, like, I don't necessarily blame gamers. Cause, so what gamers did was like they introduced, you know, to them to like the video game room, the video game club room or whatever, and they have like, you know, a couple of people playing. And one dude's like, and they introduce one dude and he's like, oh, he's a professional competitive FPS player. He's won all the awards, like, or whatever it is. And I'm just like, it's kind of depressing that they, you know, kind of simplified it to like the lowest common denominator in this way. But I can't really blame them for it, because almost like literally every anime series that has touched games and like, you know, to some extent has done something like this, where it's like, you know, this guy, he's a top FPS player. Whether that's like the only other competitive genre that Japan has any recognition of, whether, like, I don't even know, but it's not like the dude even like shows that he's doing like Counter-Strike or something like that, or like they are aware of anything. It's like, yeah, it's like Donald Trump levels of like.
What are you
like
talking
Vegas,
about?
He's
literally playing Counter-Strike in that.
Yeah, I mean, gamers is slightly better in that one, but it's like a lot of the other ones, they're just like, they play a Medal of Honor competitively, or like, you know, that like some spoof of like Medal of Honor or something like that. I'm just
Yeah.
I'm just like,
if you're gonna have a competitive FPS player at this point, here's your two games, Overwatch and CS:GO. You can pick one of them.
Yeah. And it's just like, and even like beyond that, it's just like, yeah, he's an FPS player and he's won all the awards. I'm just like, all right,
good. The Grammys.
All of them.
Yeah, he's won the Golden Globes for FPS gaming. But it's very sort of painful in seeing that vagueness. They don't need to be like super detailed about it, but they need to put some sort of like better context in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in general, that is one of their issues with trivia in that show in general about mm-hmm. games, the way they deliver it. They have, I mean, it's there when they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
There was a scene where they play P4U.
Yeah.
And when they're playing that in the arcade, they do a rundown of the MC's like first time playing it, and they're like, oh, he's doing
mistakes,
a lot of,
yeah.
Here's the mistakes. He's doing heavy attacks while the other person's blocking that are unsafe,
mm-hmm.
and he's jumping too much, and he's trying to throw out a super as like a last ditch effort.
Mm-hmm.
And they started giving all this trivia, but I really would have liked to have seen that delivered actually in the show instead of throwing text up on the screen. And then being like
sort of like a side kind of thing, almost as part of the comedy shtick, but also sort of edutainment in a sense. But,
I would have rather have like a character make a comment like, why are you doing all the, like, why do you keep jumping, or like, why do you keep doing all these attacks while I'm blocking, that's not safe.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah, but they got sponsored footage.
That's
actual Persona 4 Arena footage
that
they use.
That's actually kind of what sort of
Actual shit Elfelt gameplay, huh?
Yeah, that sort of also, I mean, it didn't bug me, but I was kind of just like, you know, they showed, people were, you know, Twitter on the interwebs were all like, wow, they show stuff like Guilty Gear or whatever and Persona. It's like, Yeah, but and it's nice that they show, you know, like actual games instead of like, hey, some sort of fantasy RPG number 15, haha, we're playing it, like, you know,
Haha, Dragon Quest, but not really.
Oh
Yeah,
man,
exactly.
what if Gamers is going to be the first, is going to have the first reveal of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle?
Oh,
That's what I
shit.
said to Spire, and I was like, that would actually be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
I'm
But
just.
they kept, you know, introducing stuff like Guilty Gear and Persona and stuff like that.
Wait, all it needs is Unial.
Yeah. I forget if they
The
actually put in you
Oh
or
no,
not,
there's a
but
Unial poster. Don't worry.
Yeah, there's a
Snap.
Unial poster, yeah.
In
Where's
episode one.
Melty?
Confirmed.
Yeah. But the thing
Yeah,
is, it's like,
exactly.
yeah.
Where is Melty?
When's Melty? But the point is that those sort of levels of detail, a lot of that came from the fact that they like partnered with Arxis, like the studio actually, like, or sort of anime project actually partnered with Arxis. And I'm thinking, well, if they only got to that level of detail by partnering, like actually partnering with an entire company, does that mean that like the rest of the series is just gonna be like, haha, look at this crane game, like, all right, like stuff like that.
See, like I'm kind of in a weird place with that because I can't super tell because the CSGO part was pretty good what they had. Like granted it looked like ass because they were remaking Counter-Strike like on a fucking anime CG budget.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
they actually had the layout of Dust
Yeah,
down
and like the
of
sort of like
Dust 2, of
models that
Dust
look like
2.
dust.
Yeah, and he was using like a and he was using an AWP and shit. So I was like they have some pretty decent knowledge of Counter, very least. So that was
Wait.
nice.
So it wasn't actual Counter-Strike footage. It was like CG a remake of Counter-Strike.
Yes.
You know, like the Chinese like ripoff of Counter-Strike, like Crossfire or whatever it is.
Holy
Yeah,
shit.
think of
That's
that. Yeah,
that's essentially how it
What
was.
the fuck?
Well, because they can't do regular Counter-Strike or
Yeah, I
Valve
mean
would
they
sue
can't
their
do
ass.
regular Counter-Strike. Yeah. Yeah, I do appreciate that point where they put in some details. But again, I would like for them to go further. Like instead of just being like, here's Guilty Gear, here's a Counter Strike. See that dude's playing Counter Strike, haha. Like actually, just like no, like talk about games. Like this is a story about games, right? I mean, it obviously depends on what the contents of the light novel are like. And I, like, but come on, like we've seen rom-com a million times already. So if you really want to invest in rom-com, then this story better have a goddamn like soul-fillingly good like rom-com, or else it better talk about games.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't really do well with any of those
Yeah, I
at
mean, what I'm thinking is that there's one last hope for it to start speeding up in like episodes 3, 4, et cetera. But
Yeah, I
yeah.
guess that could be the case. And then I guess the only other gripe I have with the show is the episode 2 dropped it, thank fucking God. But episode 1 had something that I liked, and then episode 2 didn't have that either. Where they had something that was like a more I don't know how to describe the comedic moment of it, but it was like when the character literally bursts into a tornado of flames in the game store.
Spontaneous
Yeah, like I liked that as like a joke
explosion
for.
or whatever. Combustion, spontaneous combustion.
Well, yeah, I mean I don't really know how to describe that as like a comedic like
His fighting spirit
It's just
was
like
sort of
surreal
thing.
comic. It's like surreal comic, but yeah, comedy.
Yeah, it's like a surreal thing, and they kind of drop that entirely in episode 2, which is kind of weird because they had a moment or two of it in 1, which I would have liked to see more of. But instead,
It's where all the budget went.
yeah, instead in episode 1, they had a lot more of those floating text moments that I was talking about,
Freeze
which,
frame kind of thing.
yeah, where I was describing it to Spire, and I was saying it's basically that meme where they say record scratch freeze frame.
Yeah.
This is me. I bet you're
Yeah.
wondering how I
Oh,
got here.
fucking
That's
kill me.
essentially how the show
Nice.
starts at one point, and
And
that's
there are like
also
other
what
parts to where
happens.
they do it too.
Yeah, because like they do a freeze frame when a character says something. The character's like, What a nerd. I'd never talk to him. My girlfriend's so hot. And then it's like freeze frame.
Hot dude. Hot girl. Yeah, hot
nerd. Like, by the way, they're going to meet in secret later. Yeah. And I was like, stop doing this because I don't care. It's pretty fucking obvious where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It's sort of
fair to give a forced comedic bend, because if that scene had just played out, it would have just become like sort of a more... like, oh, this is going to lead into some sort of personal, you know, interaction or deeper personal interaction or whatever, right? And so people would be like, oh, it's just foreshadowing. But because they did, they're like, oh, you know, it's like the last sign at like a comedy or like a late night show or whatever. It's like, please laugh kind of thing, where it's like, yes, it's forced, but it also forces that comedic bet. In a sense, like, it's still not good, but I'm like explaining why.
Oh, no, I know why they do it, and I know why that's a thing. And I think that, I mean, that used to be a thing, but I think that also used to be a thing in like Western comedy movies, like, you know, a decade ago, and isn't anymore for decent reason, because I'm personally just really tired of that sort of shit. So
they're just a little bit lazy in trying to deliver the comedy that way, because they were just like, oh, we need to handle this, you know, interpersonal interaction very fast. Like, we need to get these people in a fucking room together and, you know, have them start fucking or playing games or whatever they're doing, right? But at the same time, they're like, oh, wait, we need comedy in this. So that's, I guess, what they came up with.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So that was, like, something that I didn't care for. And also the fact that they don't have much joke. They don't have, like, any jokes involving, like, actual game trivia. Like,
yeah.
They have no joke. Like, the opening has more references to games in it with, like, you know, you see the main girl, and under her is, like, the visual novel text. And then you see, like, a JR or, like, a Mario-type stage in the beginning in the OP. Yeah.
Again, that's,
but there's
like
never
part of...
any of that as, like, a comedic point in the show, which I thought was, like, kind of really weird.
Yeah, that's also part of the problem with series that are more rom-com slash whatever, slice of life slash whatever, than they are, you know, whatever they're themed after, which in this series is games. Like, Umuro had the same thing, where it's, like, Umuro had, like, I guess it had the comedy or whatever, but very few of its comedy was based upon, you know, game stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I'm just going to sit in the house all day drinking Pepsi.
Like, that's not a game-related joke or whatever. Like, that's just, you know, that's like the contrast between, you know, like the proper girl and like the neat or whatever it is. Right?
Yeah. I guess my main point about that as like a closing thing is that the first episode kind of baits you into thinking that they might do that with that like fire thing that I was talking about, where it's going to be like more absurd stuff. Like, you would think that they would have these inner cuts of like a game reference sort of
moment. Yeah, okay.
Which is baffling, because Tenshinhō 3P had a fucking inner cut game RPG comedy moment. And that show is not about games.
Yeah.
So those are my gripes with it. I think overall it's kind of okay, but it's pretty standard.
Yeah. My main gripe is that it needs to do thing A well, or there it has three choices. And there is no like, can we just half ass this? No. Option one, it kinda sets the game thing aside and it does rom com extremely well. Option two, it needs to do the game thing, like, much better than average. Option three, it does somehow both of them miraculously well. I don't know how that works, but that's an option. But those are the only things on the table. They cannot, there's no, none of this, like, oh, but haha, there's girls, and then the guy is shy, but they go out together because games, right? Like, none of this half-assed stuff, please. And that also means that the third leg, the secret leg, which I mentioned a bit before, but we kind of dropped quickly, where it's like the whole talking about how do gamers interact, you know, what should gamers be like in society or like around their friends or around normal people or whatever, that shit needs to go. They're clearly not doing it well. They're just like,
well, I'm a real Jew, but I play games too.
And then it's like the sidekick's girlfriend is like, yeah, I'm Ryuji, but because my boyfriend blah 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 love blah 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 love blah, like I'm also gonna start playing games, haha. Like, no, just drop it. Like, these people have no idea how to write this.
Yeah,
like they have either no experience or they have no idea how to write this, so they shouldn't try.
But don't worry, that's not really looking up, because you just reminded me of the whole plot point in episode 2 that really shouldn't have been covered as fast as it was, where the, like, quote-unquote cool guy was like, yeah, I was a nerd in middle school, and now I changed my appearance, like, worked so hard on it, finds out that his girlfriend liked him when he was in middle school, and then he pretty much, like, re-falls in love with her.
No, that's gonna be the whole, like, that's gonna be the whole setup for the struggle between the nerd him and then the him that's like,
enjoy the cool life, surrounded by friends,
stuff like that, right? And it's like,
that's, I mean, I guess, but at the same time, it's like, I would have liked to have seen that drawn out more than, like, the ass end of episode 2 for, like, 2 minutes.
Well, they're not gonna, that sort
I'm basically saying, I would have rather have had that introduced and be sort of like almost like an anxiety point for that character for a little bit at least. Before
Would you like it to be resolved, or would you like it to be a sort of like a recurring theme, occurring, like, you know, like it's going to
I'd like to have it resolved, but I'd like to have had it, you know, at least resolved over the course of an episode. Like, they resolved it in 2 minutes to the point where we were like, well, why would we even, like, we don't even need to care. Yeah. That this character wasn't cool in middle school and now has his girlfriend. Like, we didn't we didn't have to question, like, does she like him because he's cool, or did she like him even when he's a fucking nerd?
Yeah, I personally think that doing it that quick is almost just like ripping the bandage off quickly. It's like, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you here. What I'm saying is, from my experience and from what I would have predicted if that was to happen, is that if that had gone on longer, I would have been against it, because when they make that sort of thing longer, it goes back to what I said about, you know, he's going to be fighting, you know, do I want to play the things I enjoy, or do I want to be cool, I just sit here, blah blah blah, and they're going to do that conflict all over again. And they usually don't write that well, where it's always going to be like, the dude's friends, the Goonies, are going to either tease the MC, or they're going to do something stupid and he doesn't want to go along with it. And he's going to make this final decision. He's like, no, I'm not going to go out with you guys or whatever. And he's going to come back to the cop, or, you know, whatever it is. And I'm personally against that sort of very obvious thing happening. So I don't know whether they should have gone longer, but it was unfortunate that this character development was very sort of sidelined. The sidekick's character, that is.
Yeah, I guess. I can see where you're coming from with that. I'm not really sure what to think of, like, where it's going to go with them. Cause
where it should have gone.
Where it's going to go. Because, like, what you're saying is an obvious way for it to go, but at the same time, I guess, like, the signs aren't super there of his friends being like, wow, what a fucking nerd that guy is, right? Because they're
They haven't done it yet, but like when the dude starts going on more, like the sidekick starts doing more video game stuff, I guess they're gonna be suspecting something, and then that's where the troubles are gonna begin, is my prediction.
I mean, yeah, I'd say it's a pretty fair prediction for sure.
Yeah. And then they're gonna be like, hey, like, what are you gonna do those nerdy things? Like, all these Arxis games?
What are you, a nerd? Computer or something?
You gonna play that Melty Blood?
You gonna play that Dragon Ball FighterZ that's coming out soon?
That's releasing in early 2018?
God. But yeah, those are pretty good points. But as a closing call, do you want to recommend or not recommend this to somebody? If somebody is, like, you know, seen a lot of recent slice of life stuff, but let's say they want something a little bit better, would you recommend this or not recommend this?
How good are they at these games? And can I relate to them?
I guess I would say, like, it's at least better than Civ 5 with the Brave New World expansion pack.
Uh-huh, yeah, I totally get
Damn
that.
Damn campus.
Nah, I don't know. It's hard to recommend. I'd say I definitely wouldn't like, this is the first one on your list. Like, this is a rom-com you should check
out. It's serviceable.
Right now. Like, it's if you have nothing else right now, you could check it out. But it's like, if you have any rom-com on your backlog that someone has recommended to you, it's probably
it's
better than this.
Yeah.
Like, that. This should be like the bottom of your list. Mm. I don't mean the bottom of your list of, like, oh, where bad shows go. I mean the bottom of the list where, like, okay shows go that you're watching.
Yeah, like,
With the actual really good stuff, now you're like, okay, may as well just check out some, like, standard shit.
Okay.
And on that note,
the podcast is over.
Yeah. We're ending the podcast. All right. Anyways, again, thank you, Dark, for covering games with us. And with that, we are moving on to a little bit. I mean,
And on that note, there's another rom-com that might be better than the one that Dark talked about this season.
I'd argue against that.
I was going to cover it, Toast, but yes. So it is a rom-com. It is one of the more known series, and it's...
Is it one of the more known series? It's pretty pretty newish.
And I mean, it's new, but now it's well known for the season.
Like, the names out there.
Toast, it's a fucking ecchi. With Gadus. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's like,
It got its anime adaptation really quickly, so...
I mean, I'm not too surprised, but,
it's pretty new.
So it is... I'm not sure how controversial it is on the interwebs yet, but, I mean, I'm guessing it's not gonna take too long for somebody to be triggered by something, but, on that series. But it is called Hajimete no Gyal, or... my first Gyaru, or also known as my girlfriend is a gal. Yes.
How does that even translate in English? They'll be like, "What is a gal?" And that's not something that translates into English very well. It's a Japanese sort of thing.
Yeah. So Gyaru is a sort of cultural phenomenon slash like fashion trend ish kind of thing in Japan, originating from Japan. That is where the girls sort of. Usually sport stuff like more, I guess, more westernized, like what they imagine as like Western stereotypical looks,
flashy.
Where it's like, yes, more like gaudy clothing, you know, especially with like nails or makeup or whatever. I makeup, whatever.
And tame.
Yeah, they have a lot of like accessories, hair, dyed stuff, you know, like blonde or whatever. And sometimes tans.
That is a subcategory of Gyaru that we'll talk about later.
Oh, I don't think we need to talk about defining Gyaru, but it's like,
does this show cover Gyaru trivia? Is that
no?
It's not Galco.
There's actually a show that does, I believe, talk about Gyaru, which is the one where it's like the three girls.
It's Galco-chan.
Galco-chan, right? Yeah,
shit, dude.
But,
I should go back and refinish that.
God, please no.
Galco's godlike, dude.
It was amazing.
So Gyarus are usually known, or have a stigma, that is, of being sort of the more loose personalities, like sexually active, you know, proactive personalities, more sort of rule-breaking personality, stuff like that. And that stereotype has, you know, spread out, especially in popular culture, especially in Japan, anime, manga, whatever. So this story is pretty much rom-com pseudo-harem of, you know, girls that are Gyarus aiming for him. Aiming for the MC. And that's how it begins. I forget who this studio is by, but it's not really relevant, I guess. It's probably by, like, Silverlink or some stupid fucking studio. But that's irrelevant. Anyways. Toast.
What's up?
How did you want to start off?
What?
It's the biggest mistake you've ever made.
Passing it off to
studio
Toast.
Is that,
being Toast, do you want to start
it off? Studio
is
Naz, if you're wondering what it was.
NAZ, Naz, yeah. They did, they helped with some stuff. But, yeah, most of that's been, like, assistance with stuff like Danganronpa, Space Dandy 2, stuff like that. But anyways, go on with what you thought about Hajimete no Gyal. I believe you also read the manga original.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
So would you?
I'll give it an all right out of 10.
Is it a beginner anime, Toast?
Nah. I wouldn't say so.
What about for ecchi? Is it a beginner anime? Is it a beginner for like people trying to get into ecchi? Is it a beginner ecchi?
No, the English dub of Testament of You Devil is definitely the beginners.
Oh shit!
That's English, okay. Well, it's not. Yet. It's the ecchi is not as level. It's not on the level of Testament of New Devil because.
Well, Testament of New Devil is just...
It's not on that level. It's just... It's more the teasing kind. I mean...
There are more frequent occurrences of it, but New Testament, like, once the scenes happen, they just start going, and you're like, God damn it.
Once they start going, they go in hard. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Toast.
But yeah.
Thank you, Toast.
I mean, the loot scenes, they're pretty... What's the word? Tame?
Yeah, I mean
they're very tame. They're at the point
this
where
this thing is like a shonen. It's like a Shonen Jump series, right? Like Shonen. No. Yeah, this is like a Shonen Jump series.
Well, it's not tame enough to not get an uncensored version. I'll tell you what.
Well, there is an uncensored version, but I know
that's what I'm saying.
I watched the censored version, and it's pretty funny. Because they have some pretty unique censors in there. Like the time they were in the karaoke place, there was a giant strobe light censor. Pretty cool.
So what do you think about the first of all, okay, so a couple questions. What do you think about this story, like the flow in general? And second of all, and this is actually a really important question, what do you think about the differences between the anime and the manga? Because some people have been complaining on the interwebs about this sort of like very
really
big differences.
Wow, they're weird. Well, first off, what was the first question?
What do you think about the story, like in general?
Oh, it's pretty normal.
Normal.
It's pretty
in terms of what
futsu.
Uncle Harem kind of stuff.
It's pretty futsu. It's a story about this dude named Junichi. He was all like, "Oh, I'm in high school now, but why aren't I popping with the girls?" And he's all like, "I'm gonna fix." It. And then he doesn't want to fix it. Actually, his friends caught him into it or something. Him and his loser friends are like, "Oh, why aren't we popping with the girls?" Is because we. Is it because we're lolicons and perverts? And they kind of are. And Junichi's like, "Well, no more. I'm going to do something about it." Then he asks the main girl out, and she's all like, "Wow, you're gross." And the very first scene of the anime is him asking out the main girl, and she's all like, "Wow, you're gross."
Yeah, it's actually not that. I mean, I guess this is like a spoiler in a sense, but it's not like it's a little bit more rom-com than it is just like a comedy yonkoma, where it's like, you know how there some comedy yonkomas out there these days where it's like this girl has like, you know, XYZ traits, and then basically these traits, like, she'll do these series of actions like over and over again. Like, if she's like a Yankee, she'll like do some super rough stuff, or if she's like super sweet, she'll do some other stuff, or if she's like a Gyaruho, she'll do some stereotypical girl stuff, and then the MC responds to it, and that's sort of the comedy stick, right? But
yeah,
it kind of develops into the more like standard rom-com, where it's like, you know, the girl, it's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a Gyaru," but like, she's not like a super like flutter.
She's Galco, like, she's Galco level Gyaru.
She's like casually there, but like she's still like a girl.
It's like,
at
like
heart.
She dresses like a certain way, but that's because she likes it. Other than that, she's pretty
normal. Yeah, the standard stuff. So they started having like a normal thing, but then the rest of the sort of rom-com context, you know, around them have this very heavy, like, sort of like stereotypical Gyaru thing, like, oh, you know, Gyarus do this and that, and all her Gyaru friends are jumping in on the bandwagon and stuff like that. You know, that happens. And then the MC is also the full, like, very stereotypical, like, "Oh, I'm a virgin boy. I, like, react to anything." Which is...
Anime honest... MCs react.
Yeah.
Top 10 anime reactions.
Yeah. Top 10 notes, please. But it's, like, the MC reacting, like, "Oh, I can almost see her panties," stuff like that, is a big part of the series' comedy. But I don't really like it, because...
It's average.
Like, first of all, it's repetitive, and I don't... I mean, like, the shtick, it's like a major shtick, but it's very much like It's so obvious. It's everything's always like, oh,
it's very predictable. There's nothing groundbreaking about it. It's like you can see it a mile away.
Yeah, and it takes way too long. Like the scenes themselves, where he's just like, "Can I do this?" And then they have like a conference in their like head, like between the angel and the devil, and like the panty wearing thief or whatever it is, like the arrow side of him. And then they all have a conference, and that thing lasts like 18 minutes out of like the 15 minutes the show has. So it's, I think that part of the comedy is a little bit too long. The audiovisuals are kind of just there.
Say they're an improvement over the manga, because the manga's kind of...
Really? They're an improvement?
So? No, yeah. I think the manga
episode
is pretty
decent. Episode 1's audiovisuals are not very good.
I'd say they're an improvement, because the manga visuals, they're kind of flat. If you know
so
what
are
I mean.
The fucking anime visuals. Yeah. The anime visuals are really flat.
They're more one tone. Like all their faces have like this one dimension to them. They're not very detailed, but like the anime details them a lot more. Like you can tell. There's more.
Are you trying to say they all look the same tone?
Yeah, they do. They're but, all the same face. More so than like any other series that I've
fucking
read so far.
Racist.
I also find the voice casting for this pretty funny, because it's like the main girl is not like super new, but it's like she's relatively new to the scene, like in terms of like big series, and like everybody else, like all the other girls are like the lesbian or the I guess that was a spoiler, but
the gang girl,
yeah, the gang girl, the super tan girl is like done by Kitamura Eddie, obviously very big. The student council president or like the student rep or whatever, the black hair girl, is done by Taketatsu Ayana. And then
Ayane Taketatsu?
Yes. And then
are you sure it's not Kana Hanazawa?
Shut the fuck up. And then the childhood friend is done by Ogura Yui. So she's like the main girl is like the only one that's like a newbie.
Dude, she's the underdog.
Yeah. It's very weird. But the whole like harem rom-com like shuraba kind of thing, the icha-icha, the jealousy, whatever stuff, is pretty, it's above average. It's not like the best, because a lot of them is just like, I mean, they do go through like the whole like jealousy icha-icha like flirting kind of thing, but a lot of the whole like flirting or whatever is in the form of like, hey look, boobs, like, which is like a little bit in your face, no pun intended, right? Like, so I'm not sure if I really buy into that kind of stuff, but it is above average because the girls are actually like, you know, like doing stuff. They're not just like, oh, but my cat is stuck in a tree. Like they're not that sort of. They're not those.
My cat people, is right? Stuck in a tree. You use my boobs to help her get out or something. Like, what?
Yeah, that's sort of volume. You know how the plot goes. But I think it's slightly above average in terms of how these modern series have been going along. Obviously, again, I'm not entirely sold on these sorts of like rom-com interactions. So. But,
well, I mean, like it's better than normals because
they're like doing stuff.
Because the main character Junichi,
yeah,
he doesn't know much about love. He's all like, I only date her because I want to do it.
Yeah.
But then he's all that, like...
That problem actually takes a while to go away, but he does wrestle with it a bit, and I think it does present sometimes a valid issue, or it's like, oh, you know, I kind of got into this because it's like, I just want to lose my virginity or whatever.
Yeah, but then he's like, the other girls are offering it up so far. It's like, you want to do it? And he's like, nah, I'm good.
Nah.
He's like, he's like, nah, like, I'm already dating this one girl, like, so it'd be wrong if I did. And I'm like, okay. Wow, you actually have a slight bit of a morals there, even though you come in here for the sleaze. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You get some bonus points for that.
Yeah, I kind of don't like it when that aspect, like, I just want to lose my virgin, is used for the comedy aspect, because, again, the comedy aspect isn't that pleasing. But yeah, it does present some sorts of like these obstacles, relatively like real obstacles that were set up. The other question I had, and this is probably the sort of, I guess, the last question out of the two that come up is, there are significant differences between the anime and the manga. There's some truncation. You know, some characters come up before others. Some characters like appear when in the manga that they don't or whatever. And all these kinds of things happen.
The thing you're talking about is the little sister Nene. She comes out like smack dab early in the first episode, and she doesn't.
And then also
after the current arc of like the first couple episodes of what's happening.
Yeah. Also, doesn't the
There's another main heroine that has just recently appeared in the manga, like a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was teased to be
in the last episode, right.
An upcoming character in the anime before her character art was even revealed in the manga. And it's like, what's with this pacing?
Some people are also saying that they emphasized a lot more like of the loot scenes in the anime over the whatever talking. I think it's honestly pretty similar to each other because it's like the manga itself already had a lot of those whole like.
Yeah, but it's better animated, Spire. especially with those sweet sensors, in the way it's like, hey, here's a shot of not boobs here.
Yeah,
and it's people are like, hey, I want to see this boob, and they watch look at the manga, and it's like surprise, the same thing.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. It's like the exact
same
thing.
Why do these sensors even exist if it's not, you're not going to see anything?
Have you watched the uncensored version yet?
I have.
Of the anime?
Nothing happens.
Yeah, nothing happens. But it's...
Well, we'll talk about that later because I'm confused.
But, I mean, overall, I don't really know about these truncations. I feel like they could have just done a straight adaptation, but truncated like they did.
Yeah, but look at the voice guys, dude. You gotta get those. You gotta get those big names in, and now they're out and quickly. It's like,
yeah, but you're
are you really gonna not use them for about half the series? Hell no, you're gonna use them immediately.
Just hold up. We're gonna bring you in later. but yeah,
you don't say no to that. If you want people to watch her anime, bring them in now. It's like, hey, this has got Kitamura and
Ogura Yuri. Ogura Yuri is doing a yandere role in this, right? So it's like she's gonna definitely get points for that, reviews for that. But what do you think how they changed it from the manga?
I'm fine with it because, like I said. I personally don't have a problem with it. It doesn't really mess up the pacing so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first three episodes, it's about, like, Nene appeared, did her thing, but she doesn't have her arc until later on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. The other girl, Ayane Takatatsu, she's not going to appear until much later.
And, yeah.
I mean, there's no problem. I don't have any problem with it because...
I personally, it hasn't
detracted from the story for me so far.
Yeah, it's just kind of switched around more or less. Yeah, I personally, especially since the Ogura Yui girl didn't really have that much input. Like she had like a tiny bit of input, but not that much input on the Ayane and Hakutatsu arc. You know what I mean? Like she had that input at the very beginning, but then like not really anything else. But
these other girls basically exist to get in the way of Yukana and Junichi's relationship.
It's like obstacles. It's like you're playing like magical rail car, and then it's like the obstacles coming up.
Yeah, and it's like they're not gonna do anything substantial so far. So
I wish they would get together and kind of do VHHA kind of like or talking with each other or stuff like that. But right now there's not that much, so it doesn't make that much of a difference switching around. I kind of think, I don't know. I don't know if there should be less truncations, but I kind of do mind some of like the smaller, like mini episodes, stuff like that. They
condense the Renko arc. That's Kitamura Eri, the Genguru. Yeah. They condensed it to one episode, where in the manga it took several chapters, and I'm okay with that. I mean, this is probably not going to be 24 anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're pretty packed on time, but I'm kind of curious as to what they're gonna do for
episodes. Yeah, because the speed of the anime is catching up to the manga relatively quickly. So I want And the manga is a like semi. It's not weekly. It's like quarterly, I think.
Bimonthly?
Bimonthly, something like that. It
every
takes
2 months,
months
or every half month.
Yeah.
Which one?
It takes. Like there was a September, I believe there was a September chapter, and then there was like later like an October chapter. So it's probably
bimonthly or like every 2 months or something. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Okay.
So I just hope they don't run out of material.
Yeah,
or they catch it too early, and the author's like, "Damn, now I gotta make up some stuff for the anime."
Yeah, exactly. That'd be pretty funny. Like, some people will do that. But yeah, overall, would you recommend this to?
Okay.
In question, beginners. Dark ass, like the.
Yeah, sure. Why not? if you just know that you're coming in here for the pervy scenes, and
yeah,
they're there,
yeah.
And they're pretty good because the voice cast is pretty good with it too. So.
Yeah, this is
just
like
just know what just come in, like expecting what, come in without any expectations, with you know what you're going into. Don't
yeah.
don't expect some sort of like super super big plot twist so far.
Yeah. So Taketatsu Ayana has done a decent amount of lewd scenes, especially starting from like kisses stuff like that. But
wow,
you
would know, pervert.
Shut the fuck up. But Ogura Yui hasn't done that much in terms of like those sorts of lewd scenes. So for those Ogura Yui fans out there, like if they don't truncate too much of her arc, this is essentially the closest you're gonna get to hearing Ogura Yui in like an eroge or something like that. Like I assure you, this is the closest you're gonna get. So yeah, watch out for that.
Yeah, it's good.
And,
people
yeah.
like it because of the scenes. They're not gonna come
I mean,
in for
delivers,
like, a groundbreaking story. Like, oh, Junichi's such a deep and sophisticated character. No, he's not. He just wants some poo.
It delivers what it promised to deliver.
But he's loyal poo.
Yeah,
beyond thoughts.
It delivers what it promises to deliver. I just wish that it would cut back a little bit upon like the comedy stuff. But yeah,
like. People are saying the comedy is cringy. I don't know if that, like, I personally
it's just too
understand.
Long. It's just
boring,
too long.
To be honest.
It's too long. It's too long. It's too boring. You know?
It's like, oh, boobies. And it's like, is it like middle schooler level cringe or everyone's excited about the boobies? And
it's more just like, it's more like the problems I have with Seito Kayakun Domo.
Whoa,
it's like,
that's godly. That comedy
like,
is godly. Why do you think it got like an entire season of OVAs before they got the second season.
The thing is, it's like Seito Kayakun Domo has its good moments, but a lot of the other times where it's like, you know, it just kind of does some sort of variant of a banana joke over and over again, and it's like,
yeah, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, but it's like still the banana joke. Like,
yeah.
Okay,
better than Aho Girls banana jokes.
Well,
it's almost like
it's
Aho Girls not very good.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you to us again for covering.
I mean, what's wrong with SYD? SYD's great. It's coming out with a movie.
I don't think it's bad. I just think that it could do more than just, you know, banana jokes 40% of the time.
What about the strap-on joke? That was pretty good.
The strap-on joke was okay.
What?
But, I like the New Year's stuff a lot. But anyways, moving on.
You didn't like that airplane scene? That was great.
See, oh my god. Especially when it became that viral video. But anyways, we're moving on. Last but not least, I decided to cover Princess Principal because I do believe that it's going to be one of the sort of, I guess, another one of the more known series this season in terms of like how it looks visually and also how it's more like action, like steampunk oriented, and Yuki Kajiura is also scoring for it, right? Composing for it, I believe. Kajiura Yuki.
They have a distinct like soundtrack, so you'd know them immediately. Why are you asking me?
Yeah, well, like, yeah, I'm just clarifying, okay, for the viewers out there or for the listeners out there. But so it is.
So Yuki Kajiura also did the soundtrack for Fate Zero and Sword Art Online and Kano Yuga.
Yeah, it is also done by Studio 3Hertz. Studio 3Hertz hasn't been doing like a lot of stuff, but they were involved in very recent series such as Celestial Method, Dimension W, Flip Flappers. They helped a little bit with Little Witch Academia, and rewrite and stuff like that. So they did some series of worth noticing, but it kind of remains to be seen if any of them are like huge sort of like classics yet. You know what I mean? And I guess this one is shaping out to be very similar to that. Again, as I said, it is an action sort of steampunkish setting. Set in London. London has been split into two between East and West, much like some other historical cases, blah, blah, blah. And the East and West fight with each other by using, you know, spies and stuff like that. It's unknown how the
Cold War?
Sort of, yeah.
No, because they actually kill people.
Yeah.
So not Cold War.
I mean,
more World War II than Cold War.
I mean, the idea of the wall is Cold War, but it's like the spy thing is World
War II. It's a war without an actual war.
Yeah, the idea and the scale of the conflict is not made clear. But the point is, you know, spies are fighting with each other and, you know, trying to gain ground, blah, 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 carrying out missions. And the idea is like the usual thing with these like spy action things, right? Where it's like, There's no black and white. It's always gray morals every day. Like stuff like that. And also all the spies are girls. I forgot to tell you
this.
Is that why it's called Princess Principal and not man set?
No.
Yeah.
What? It's called Princess Principal because one of the spies is a princess.
Is her name actually like Princess or whatever?
Hey.
Yeah, they just call her Hime. Apparently, she doesn't actually have a name.
Yeah, Hime is a name.
It's not important. It's not important.
Her name's not important.
Yeah, her name's not important, dude.
Shit.
Anyways, there's the audio visuals. I think with some like exceptions, right? As you guys mentioned just before the podcast,
they're okay. The CG dancers are fucking nasty, but whatever.
I think the car chase was done pretty decently.
The car chase was alright. There's never gonna be a hand drawn car in any anime, so
yeah.
What about Initial D?
Those are CG, dude.
Yeah, those are all these.
The original Initial D was fucking CG, wasn't it?
Some of the worst CG of all time too. The only times you're gonna get hand drawn cars is if you're getting like a red line or something.
Yeah,
I was talking about the movie.
Go get a hand drawn like car in a dead studio,
or if it's like an opening.
Yeah. Even then, you're lucky. Yeah. If the car is moving, it's CG. Yeah. But the other visuals are fine. I don't really like the character designs for the most part, but that's personal preference.
Yeah, the character designs are kind of just meant to be. Kind of they're not. They're just like, oh, we're a ragtag bunch. It's like fucking these recent female remakes, like female cast remakes of like old movies or something like that, like Ghostbusters kind of thing.
Wow, that's like Gantz.
What? It's like, what?
What the fuck are you talking about?
you didn't read Gantz G, where they remade like the first part of Gantz as all girls?
No, that's not animated though, Toast. That's a random fucking spin-off manga.
Hey man,
Ghostbusters isn't animated either.
One time I read this Gender Bend Dojin and
so it's sort of like, you know, rather than having them being like these like super unique characters, they're like, yeah, we're this like ragtag bunch of people, like girls. Doing spy things.
Do they have code names befitting of spies like Matahari or Ava?
No, they just have names. My problem with character designs is they're not like cohesive or anything, you know. You have a random steampunk top hat girl, mm-hmm. and then you have ninja samurai rice hat girl, and then
it's because of rat tech team. Yeah.
Then you have the princess, and then you have the older girl who apparently doesn't do anything.
It's like everybody from the A team except like the fireman or something.
Yeah,
they're like different colors. See, one's purple, one's blue, two are red, one's black.
There's no theme to it. Is my problem. It's like the creator just made a bunch of OCs and was like, you know what, I can make a series out of this. It's good enough.
Yeah, the only real theme, quote unquote, would be like steampunkish Victorian like frill sort of thing for the costumes we see now. When they're actually in spy mode,
samurai
makes no sense.
Very far from.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't
samurai makes even less.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't for the samurai, which I like totally didn't get either, and she was like all slicing cars up and shit, and I was like, is that her job to like slice cars up? Like, but other than the samurai, I think it could be construed as like a meme. Victorian England, like steampunk kind of thing. Like the top hat is a little bit like top hat monocle shit is a little bit kind of.
The top hat's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But.
Dude, how
what if, it, what if it turns into a blade like Odd Job, dude?
Dude, if it wasn't for the top hat, you would have no clue that it was England. You'd have no clue. How would you know?
You're right.
How would you know it's a princess if they didn't have the top hat? Yeah.
If they're not wearing top hats, you know, it might as well just be Japan.
If they're not stuffing skos into their mouths, like how would you even know it's England? But it
could
be anywhere.
The princess isn't the one that wears the top hat. The princess wears the hood
and the monocles.
but geez. Isn't their team called the Princess Principles?
No.
What is their team called then?
They're not a team of anything. They're just a group.
They're
of
like spies. The principal, like.
Like even a ragtag group of battle hardened mercenaries have a name. They're called the Expendables.
Oh my!
I wish Dwayne the Rock Johnson played both these girls, please.
That would be a good anime.
Yeah, but in terms of how the character interactions kind of work out and how sort of the point of the series, like where the series is going to go in terms of like exploring moral themes, right? How'd you find it?
Well, first of all, I can say I don't like the main character.
The main character technically. Is she?
Yeah, I don't like the
Well,
main
she's
character.
Been the main character for two episodes that I've seen.
Oh, you did
so,
watch episode two.
Yeah.
I like it when like the spy team does their thing. Like
yes, I like it when stuff, the I like it when the main character is doing spy shit and not talking in that fucking boring ass monotone voice.
Yeah.
But every other time I'm like, why is she the main character? Like if you're gonna
she's
make a
the liar.
Yeah, if you're gonna make a monotone character that's always fucking lying, don't make it the main character. Cause by the end of episode one, I was already tired of the I'm always lying shtick. Like that was dull fast. And I don't like the monotone thing on top of
there's
that.
There's an exception. I would be okay if like episode 2 or episode 3 there was some sort of strange like internal struggle, like she's some sort of like pathological liar because some background stuff like that or some like weird stuff. I'd be okay with that. But it's not really like that. Like, why she's
lying. Yeah, I guess if they do something with it, but like, so far it's just been, I'm lying because I'm a spy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's no.
But if she says she's a spy and she's lying,
you can't trust people who say they're spies.
Yeah.
They're spies if they say they're spies.
Wait, you said you watched episode 2, right?
Yeah, I watched episode 2.
Is that the part where they do the. They do like the negotiations at the ballroom or whatever, right?
Yeah, they do the ballroom stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so I what I don't like about the character interactions most of all, I mean, I say most of all, I don't think it's like a group of like really bad stuff, but it's like one of the major gripes I had with this was that the characters at the end of the day are all like, yeah, but I'm doing this to save you, like stuff like that, and it's like. Like, it's the whole, like, oh, you know, I'm doing this ultimately very good thing for, you know, through all these, like, gray moral means. And
because I'm just such a nice person.
Yeah, but like I'm gonna dirty my hand. You don't need to do. And all these sorts of interactions become very, very obvious, right? These like pathways that people can go through, or these characters can go through. And I'm not that impressed by it. Like I was more impressed back when at the sort of starting stages of the anime, when everybody was just doing dumb shit because, you know, they just want to survive, or they want to look out for number one, or, you know, they're just kind of in it for the money, or, you know, this is just their way of life or whatever. Right. I'm actually, I like if the entire anime was like that, I'd be down with that. I'd be like, yeah, everybody's just kind of being a dick because they have to look out for number one. Mm-hmm. But it's like at the end of the day, they're just like, yeah, but I'm ultimately being good. And it's like, yeah, I guess.
That's not how you do gray morality, my friend.
Yeah, it's like I guess you could just do that.
Sure. You can't go into something with a facade of being gray morality, and then at the end just be like, "By the way, it was all good."
Yeah, I just had to do it. But hey, the cop.
It was gray because she killed the guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, except it's like, the guy was.
Except the guy was
going
to fucking kill them all. So. Yeah. There wasn't really any gray morality there.
Well, I mean, it is gray morality, but the issue is it's like it's not asking different questions. It's asking the same thing of, like, do the ends justify the means, which is just a very reduced version of do the ends justify the means, which is,
well,
like...
Well, in the first episode, fucking... they certainly did, because they ended it on the fucking, wow, you're such a good person, though. Like,
yeah.
There was
yeah,
no...
Yeah, but then
there
that
was...
sister's brother is dead.
Wow,
yeah,
there was like nothing lost because the sister's brother was a fucking bad guy.
And
he was selling them all out.
But and, there and, are no goods and bad guys because it's all gray.
Yeah. The whole idea is like, you know, should you, you know, even if, you know, he was doing these bad things, blah, 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 he's doing bad things, they're doing bad things or whatever. Should you, like, you know, kill the person, blah, 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 she got her hands dirty. And that's the whole, like, gray morality thing, and that's where the whole, like, you know, ends versus the means comes in. But again, the issue is they're not asking anything super different. They're not,
well,
like...
I mean, the thing is, they're not really asking, like, if you
anything.
Should kill him there, because he betrayed them. Like, at that point, she has to kill him. Right?
I think they tried
They
tried to pull the thing where it's like, well... He was doing it to save his sister.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I get that.
At the same time,
but,
it's like it doesn't really matter because they're spies and you're trying to sell them out. So it's like they kind of
so
have
I,
to.
I think what the sort of writers wanted us to see is like, oh, she's like supposed to be nice or whatever, right? At the beginning, like nice-ish. And then the dude, you know, tells a soft story about the sister doing blah, blah, blah. And then the brother, because he's been driven to desperation, you know, rats them all out, and the writers are like, well, we'll let you guys think for a second that she'll, you know, let him go because she's kind or whatever, but then she shoots him, and then that leads into the whole like pathway of, oh, you know, there's blood on her hands because she's a spy, and then that leads into the whole like, oh, you see, it's a complex set of actions because blah, 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 she killed somebody.
Something like that, you don't really need an entire episode to be like, well, she has blood on her hands because she's
a
spy.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially when at the very beginning of the episode, she killed two fucking people by making their car fly into the sky and crash into an overpass.
No. They weren't dead. You saw them in the hospital again later on.
It's like Batman. Dude.
Shit.
It was just
espionage,
they
bro.
I didn't kill them.
I only
fucking drove into them at 100 miles per hour with my Batmobile, but they didn't die because I electrocuted them before.
They got compensation, dude. But
it's just espionage, bro. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, you have to be so mad. But it's very...
I mean, most of my gripes with the show are in the first episode alone, because I did like the second episode. It was a lot more spy-ish, right?
Yeah.
I like the fact that at the end of it, the princess was acting like a total scumbag, like, you know, I know you guys are spies, and I won't hesitate to sell you out unless you help me, like, get what I want.
Like, they're actually doing spy, like, or action, or, like, you know.
Yeah, I like that fucking underhanded negotiation shit.
Yeah.
But then again, at the end of the second episode, it was like, Oh, by the way, it was all the main characters playing all along.
I'm going to deceive everybody.
Because she told the princess that they were spies for some fucking reason.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just, again, it's the issue is it's like, and this is going to become very similar to Love and Lies. Like, I haven't seen any more of Love and Lies, what we covered in the live reactions. But it's like this whole like theme of like lying and like doing these bad actions because I'm aiming for the greater good or whatever it is, right? And it's like they don't go any, like, these writers don't go any further than like discussing, oh, well, okay, this lie is like an X bad thing, but if there's a greater good, is it justified? They don't ask anything further than that. They don't, you know, talk about the structure of this. They don't talk about the context. They don't talk about, you know, like, you know, is action like a valid moral? Do actions have an inherent moral value in and of themselves? They don't talk about these more like subtle things. They're just like, oh, but she has blood on her hands. See, how, that's really complex. And that sort of, you know, bugs me, right? And obviously it bugs you because they're just like, yeah, I'm going to deceive everyone, like lies, blah, 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 right?
Well, the problem I'm having with it is they're saying, oh, I'm deceiving you, right? Mm-hmm. This is especially with the first episode. Like, at the end, she's like, oh, I was deceiving you all along.
Yeah.
But, like I said before the podcast, in the first episode, the entire episode is building this character up as a massive fucking liar. Like, she lies about pretty much every single thing
to
this other character. And then at the very end, she lies to him again. And then he basically believes her.
Yeah.
And then immediately before he gets killed, he calls her out for being a liar. And this is like, well,
he gets fucked up before because he believed him.
There was no deception there. It was just pure fucking stupidity, right? Like, it was just the other character being a complete idiot. Yeah. You know, there wasn't much spy, like, espionage persuasion going on there. It was just, haha, you're an idiot. I'm going to kill you now. Like,
yeah, I think for to be some fair, although, again, like, I'm not, like, pushing this argument too much. It's like when the lying girl or whatever was talking about, like, somewhat, like, normal, like, logistic stuff, like, get in the car or blah, 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 do whatever. Like, she's, like, you know, behaving relatively normally, like, oh, we should do this, we should do that. But then, like, that still doesn't really excuse the fact that one of the most important decisions of his life, you know, whether to drop it or not, you know, or let it go, let his, you know, saving grace go, led him to getting killed because he believed her. So that was very suspect. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, that was just something that, like, I can't overlook something like that. You know, it's just, it's such a glaring flaw with the exchange of words being held that, you know, like, why would you believe her there?
Yeah.
Like, your life is on the line.
Yeah, that's like,
this character is lying to you right now.
Right now.
And you're going to believe her. Like, yeah. She's been lying to you the entire time you've known her. And this one time on this life or death situation, you're going to believe her. Like,
you're like, okay, yeah, fuck, man.
I don't think that's sound judgment there, buddy.
Yeah. Well, he was also desperate, but anyways, like, that doesn't really excuse.
But what if the alien thing was true?
Yeah. I think one of the other gripes you had was that you wanted a little bit more intrigue, again, like what you had in episode 2, instead of like some Jason Bourne thing going on. That was more,
yeah,
episode
I mean,
one.
If there are spies, I want to see espionage going on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want car chases and shootouts for spies. You know?
Because they're spies, dude.
I don't want like, oh, I'm sneaking around. I'm spying. By the way, I'm going to pull out my samurai sword and murder this entire room of people.
But Nier, don't you remember in Metal Gear Solid 3, there was a motorcycle. There was a motorcycle part. It comes with the territory.
Metal Gear is barely espionage. Let's be real.
MGS3 was all about the espionage, though.
It's all stealth if there's no survivors.
He's right.
If a tree falls,
just look at Hitman. You know, if you kill everybody,
exactly. That's what I just mentioned. Yeah, Hitman. It's like Hitman. You just walk in the room, and as long as you kill everybody, that you're getting too many
shots.
Can't
leak secrets if no one's alive.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's still a serviceable, I guess, as an action series, but the character interactions and everything are action slash, like, I guess it's going more into spy territory now, as like an action slash, like, sort of swashbuckling, dandy, like, action kind of sort of series.
But I don't even know where the second episode takes place. I don't know if that was supposed to take place before the first episode or what. Like, it was very vague.
Yeah, that's before, right? Because, like, in the first episode, they already had the whole, like...
Yeah, in the first episode, they're all together. And then in the second episode, it, like, sets up them getting together.
Yeah, exactly.
It really threw me for a loop. I was like, wait. They were just hanging out with the princess, but now they're spying on her.
Yeah. It's, they don't explain it well, but it's, they kind of put it straight in immediate rest, like, in the beginning of the timeline. Like, they haven't, like, met together yet.
Kind of weird, but...
Yeah. I think it's, like, overall with, like, the audio visuals and, like, how they did the espionage and stuff like that in episode 2, and probably if they continue like that, with the other stuff. Episode 3 was okay. But I think it's still a pretty serviceable, like, action series, but the character interactions and, like, how it kind of tries to drive the dream morality thing in a very reducible way is very, not, like, it's not really motivating.
I want the main character to take a back seat.
But what if, like, she's spoken less of a monotone? Well, but what if she became the princess again?
What if she's really an alien?
Yeah. What if she's an alien princess, dude?
Damn.
Yeah.
But I hope the princess gets more of, like, the main character role, because
I mean those two are definitely going to get more of a role, like, probably, like, switching back and forth or doing something stupid, right? But the issue is whether, like, they'll do the time as a duo or whether it'll be, like, mainly focusing on how the main girl is, like, brooding over her choices, like the choices she made, the way she bloodied her hands, but less than that, probably.
So I don't know. I'd say this has potential. Yeah. Maybe not as much potential as something like Akka, ACCA, which I still didn't finish. I need to go back and watch.
Akka is a very Akka is, there's, like, a little bit of a difference, though, because it's, like, Princess Principal kind of revealed all its hands at the beginning, like, it revealed its entire hand at the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, here it is, like, fucking straight.
For sure, for sure.
But it's, like, Akka, like, even after, like, 2-3 episodes, it was just, like, what is it going into? You're kind of like that, which wasn't necessarily bad, because it's not, like, people were, like, it's not like the series was like, Akka is going to be like this at the beginning, but it was still like, oh, I don't really have a clue of, like, what they're trying to do with it. Yeah. So much yet.
But I think the general, like, flow, I guess, I don't know, just the backhanded dealings and stuff of spies and whatnot is, I think, comparable to ACCA.
Yeah, the talking.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, so thank you, Nier, for sticking through to it, at least.
Thanks for being a princess.
Yeah. Also, talk about the monotone characters. Sessiono voice actually says, I kind of dig the MC's monotoneness in Classroom of the Elite, or Yokoso Jitsuke, or whatever. Yojitsu. Well, this, like, monotone character stuff, I kind of, like, especially, like, the monotone people who have, like, a lot of talent stuff, I kind of am not digging that much, honestly, because
you,
it's, you like,
don't
the whole...
Who Dares Aspire?
It's...
Well, it's like, I think, because Yujutsu's just, like, basic classroom drama shit, right?
Yeah, it's, like, a very tiny tinge of survival game, plus, like, Fakuto Test, like, the serious themes of Fakuto Test.
I think having a monotone protagonist in something like that is a lot different from having a monotone protagonist in a half action, half espionage series. Like, when you have a monotone character in, like, an action series, you know, usually that's not a good sign.
I mean, usually
monotone characters are pretty fucking boring.
The monotone characters, if they're monotone, it has to denote some sort of like issue that they're like maybe dealing with, right? Because usually those characters aren't that quiet, right? Like if they're like in the middle of shit all the time.
Yeah.
But the reason is because it's like the writers always go back to like the monotone or whatever, stuff like that. It's like as sort of like an issue. Like they don't obviously call it out like, oh, why do you have a monotone voice? It's not like that. But it's merely like, oh, I'm quiet because blah blah blah, this and that happened, stuff like that. And that always comes up later, and it's usually not that interesting, where it's like, oh, I just decided it would be better to just stay low and follow the rules, stuff like that, like stupid shit like that. And I'm not a big fan of like the monotone voice being just used as a very obvious like flashback point like that. So that was just my little dig there. But yeah, again, thank you for covering this with me. And with that being said, we are going to move on the news. A decent amount of, well, not like a huge amount of news, but solid amount. There's like a lot more people related news and some interesting stuff in regards to like releases, but
wow,
we'll go through some of that. A lot of award stuff. The first off is a very interesting piece of news. You'll have some of us here get salty already.
Wow.
Okay, so the first piece of news is that the Kyoto Animation Awards takes a year off and will return in 2018. The official website for anime studio Kyoto Animation announced on Friday that it will not hold the 9th annual... Oh, this is last Friday, by the way. It will not hold the 9th annual Kyoto Animation Awards this year. The program will return in 2018 for the 10th annual awards. The staff explained that it is taking time to improve the awards, and the 10th annual awards will be a new start. What I'm wondering is that...
Is it really the 10th annual if you're skipping one of them?
Yeah, exactly. First of all, is it really the 10th? And second of all, are they really doing it to like improve, like, oh, you know, like maybe we're being a bit too stingy, or like, you know, maybe we're being assholes, and like, are they
Hell
improving
no.
this?
Maybe our award show should hand out a fucking award. How about that?
That'd be yeah, great. No. Or even better, this is like where we go down the rabbit hole. Are they actually doing this because, like, they're just like, hey, none of you are any good, and then they're just taking the pool of candidates and they're just picking whatever they want? They're like, hey, you know, like you didn't even get an award last year, like, but you know, you seem okay. Why don't you come over to us for an anime? And then they just kind of work out whatever they want to work out, right, contract-wise.
I feel like they're just doing this to make it a bigger deal next time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just like
oh, well, there
so
wasn't
rare.
One last year,
yeah.
So this one's even more important, but we're still not going to give an award out.
Yeah, this is so important. This is so prestigious that only 9 awards have been given out in 10 years, kind of thing.
Stupid.
It's Kyoto Animation. Like, honestly, like, the thing is, like whoever they choose, like, usually comes out to be, like, good series, but it's like,
yeah, Tamako
why
Market.
Do they do this shit? No, Tamako Market didn't. It was an anime original created in-house by the studio.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, but it didn't win an award, Toast.
Exactly.
Kiwani gave themselves their
yeah,
award.
Yeah, they are really impressed. Yeah, it's like, it really bugs me that they do this. And obviously, you guys all have shared the same similar sentiments.
Stupid.
Fucking whatever. Alright, next piece of news is also pretty funny. So before, we talked, you know, weeks, months before, we talked about how Akimoto Yasushi, who was the founder of AKB40, a very big idol group, and the producer behind them, is producing a new sort of dimension-crossing idol group based upon 2D characters. So it's called 22 divided by 7, or I guess that's sort of like a rough, 22 over 7 is a rough approximation of pi. I don't know why they used this, but they did. Announced at their first live event on Saturday that the group is getting an anime project. Surprise, surprise. But yeah, again, during the live event on Saturday, the group performed on stage as themselves, but also put on a motion capture performance as their anime characters. Dear Lord.
So did it, like, dance with themselves?
No, they probably danced like backstage, and then the motion capture was put on like above stage, or maybe they danced on stage, and then the screen above them showed, you know, like the motion capture animated characters.
But, yeah. It's like that scene from Take On Me when she jumps into the animated world, you know? It was like that.
You know, it's like the ring, but it's like the anime character crawls out and you see like the voice actor behind them. Like,
holy shit, that'd be fucking cool, dude.
Yeah. Anyways, the group based on the concept of quote unquote idols across dimensions has 8 anime idol characters with their respective voice actors performing as idols in the real world. Different character designer is handling each character member's anime design. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So yeah, it's 2D. To the anime focused stuff, but again, we read all these descriptions, right? And they were pretty funny. They're so simple, but it was really funny. It was like, what is it? She acts high class in a sentence. She's a daughter of a good family.
Is one of them? She knows 5 languages.
17 years old and cool.
Yeah. She is egotistical and speaks in a Kansai dialect.
That's me.
17 years old and an idol. She's an otaku and is a bit ignorant. God.
A bit ignorant. I like how that's the word choice.
Yeah. 16 years old, she's aggressive and militant. Militant.
Damn.
Jesus. But yeah, watch out for these 2D motion capture girls coming to you. I mean, they're probably going to do focus on motion capture, right? Because the whole point of them is supposed to be 2D, like, idols popping into, like, live events-ish kind of thing, I guess. That's what they're trying to go for, so expect to see a lot of motion capture and shit soon. Jeez. Moving on. A little bit on
please
the...
Please shut your dog up.
Yeah, dude, your dog is actually... So on the international awards list today, we have, unfortunately, defeat of manga at the defeat of Japanese manga at 2 different awards. First of all, at the 2017 Eisner Awards, there were no manga wins, although there were 5 Japanese works that were nominated for best U.S. edition of international material in Asia from Asia category, including Oyasumi Punpun, Orange, The Osamu Tezuka Story, Princess Jellyfish, and Wandering Island, but none of them unfortunately got the award. This is actually the first year apparently that a manga did not win this award. Instead, the award went to San Liu's The Art of Charlie Chan Hokcha, which is actually a Singaporean comic. So yeah, very unfortunate for those nominees. And no manga has been nominated for the inaugural 2017 Ringo Awards, which is also known as 2017 Mike Ringo Comic Book Industry Awards. So yeah, again, very unfortunate. I'm sure this makes Miyazaki slightly happier, but yeah.
Manga's dead. It's over, manga's boys.
Dead. It's stop drawing. People will now. Artists will now receive like 7,000 per year.
Damn.
Stuff like that. Anyways.
Isn't that racist?
Wait, what?
Yes.
What? What?
Wait, how is it racist? Alright, Toast.
Okay.
Alright, Toast.
Alright, thanks, man.
Moving on. So, ad firm, Hakuhodo, released its quote-unquote content fan expenditure behavior study, and I think this is actually pretty interesting, even if you just read like the original material, for 2017 on July 5th. The study ranks media franchises, groups, and artists in 2 categories, reach and expenditure power. Reach is how many people participated in the franchise for the year by spending on it at all, while expenditure power is how much of franchise's core fans spent on it for the year, so how much money that is. The ranking for reach is as follows. Number 1, at nearly 11,000 people, Your Name or Kimi no Na wa. Number 2, Detective Conan, ranking at 9.7 million. 3 One Piece, 4 Gen Hoshino. These are just like artists, obviously. 5 Hikaru Utada, 6 Dragon Ball, 7 Pokemon, 8 Ikimonogatari, 9 SMAP, and 10 Arashi. So these are also, like, obviously also can be brands and stuff like that. The ranking for expenditure power, and this is, again, how much money is spent instead of how many people are reached, is as follows. And this might be a little bit funnier. Number 1, Arashi. Number 2, Exile. Number 3, Love Live, surprising nobody. Number 4, Final Fantasy series. Number 5, Nogizaka 46, which is the idol group. Number 6, Kanjani. Number 7, Godzilla series. Number 8, Heisei Jump. Number 9, News. I don't know what the fuck this is. It's like a male idol group or something like that?
Looks like it.
Yeah, it's a male idol group. And then number 10 at One Piece. So yeah, very interesting. I'm not sure how much of it is a surprise. I'm actually kind of surprised at the whole like male idol thing spending a lot more. But I guess I'm not too surprised by that either, right? Because it's like some of these people.
Fujos, dude.
Yeah, Fujos.
They have infinite money, apparently.
Yeah, I'm actually... Well, I guess Utena Prince-sama like always gets huge BD sales, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess I should have known from that Fujos are willing to spend a lot of money, like a surprising amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, sure, like Love Live, like people, like female idols also get like a huge thing, but they also have like a huge fan base, right? So it's like, maybe it's like more proportional. But yeah, that was pretty interesting. Again, reach, like how many people, how actually popular it is versus how hardcore its fans are. Straight, interesting study there by an ad firm. Next piece of news. Japanese retail company Marui Group, Marui means round in Japanese, invested its first television anime productions with this summer's Aho Girl and Citizen of Children anime.
Oh. You got one, right?
Yeah. Marui will hold a promotional campaign for both shows at a Shinjuku Marui NX store at Tokyo beginning from August 8th to 30th. The campaign will offer special illustrations, collaboration merchandise for both anime and the store. So, Marui Group had previously invested in the Aozora Yell and Gintama live-action films, but not, like, official anime stuff. So, I guess the store is now really kind of partnering up with, like, anime stuff. I mean, pretty much everything in Japan has partnered up with anime at some point or another. So, I guess this is the time to just get up on it, especially during the summer where a lot more people will be, like, out shopping, out playing around, stuff like that. So, next piece of news. This is like a little bit, this again, I don't really like doing like anime release projects, stuff like that, but this one was pretty funny. So Kazuhara Kina has done, I believe, an illustration project. It's not like a manga or anything like that. It's like an illustration. It's like a Pixiv kind of thing, I guess.
Pixiv series. Pixiv, yeah. Clips,
yeah. Called Mainichi JK Kikaku, or Everyday High School Girl Project.
It's like the new Tawawa.
I guess. I announced on Wednesday that an anime adaptation has been greenlit. The project will hold auditions for new voice actors to have roles in this project's number zero, quote-unquote, number zero pilot animation. So they're bringing new blood, but it's also off like a very weird thing. It's like the closest thing this reminds me of is like, what is it, like Panty Scrub Pirates, like Moretz Pirates or whatever, where like the dude made the anime based off a drawing of a pirate in panty skirts he saw at Comic Cat or something. Like that sort of shit.
It's just a flash of inspiration, man.
Dude, I could write an entire anime series off panty skirt pirates.
You ever been so inspired by panties you just made a series about them?
But yeah, this one was the pretty funny one. Let's see this. Blah, blah, blah. They're talking about how this is going to become, the news generally talks about how it's going to become like a very like multimedia project. Imagine like Love Live, where it's like they did the anime, but they're also doing like, you know, live events, they're doing like, you know, CDs, they're doing, they say they might end up doing like some sort of like game kind of thing, maybe, like depending on how it goes. It's like there are a whole bunch of different like plans in motion. Yeah. So the project's official website also lists the game. So it's going to become a heavy multimedia project. But the funny thing was Kazuharu Kino. Yeah, Kina, excuse me. Kazuharu Kina. It says, for his original illustration project, Kazuharu draws real female high school students that he sees on the street. He then uploads the illustrations on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
But are they cute?
I don't know if you can say that. That's what you're doing.
I just take pictures of people on the street. But are they cute?
No, he doesn't do that. He walks up.
He just stares at them.
Must draw you.
Yeah, he just follows him around for a couple hours.
He just like stops him. It's like, can you stop there for a bit? Just like stares at him. It's like, all right, got it.
Like, I'll remember your face.
See, there's that one there that's like waving to him. She waved to him. She was cool with it.
Yeah. Oh my god. So I just found this like really funny how it's like relatively creepy like beginnings ended up becoming like this huge like media project thing. But it's honestly,
it's art, dude.
Depending on how the promotion goes, I have a feeling that this could potentially become like viral or like very big. like depending on how the promotion goes again.
At least he didn't go into someone's home talking about radiation levels.
Just he opens up their eyes like, the radiation levels in here are off the charts. Now I need to draw you.
Yeah, I need to draw you to get rid of it.
He only goes to the high school girls like places for radiation check. But yeah, again,
get into this high school for radiation checks.
But yeah, anyways, we'll see how this goes. Again, my prediction is that this is actually going to become pretty viral if the promotion stuff goes well. But
my prediction is he's going to get sued.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't been sued already.
Well, he hasn't gotten sued yet, so...
It can go two ways. Either this blows up and it becomes, like, a viral, like, meme status thing, or this blows up and he goes to prison.
Yeah. Next piece of news. ICV2 released a chart on Friday that ranked the top-selling manga franchises from spring 2017 in the United States. ICV2 stated that the data reflects sales in all channels, including comic book sales and comic book stores and online. And this is just doubling up on the whole like little brief discussion we had before about Fujo's piling on a lot of money into stuff. Number one for comics, top manga, is Tsuishida's Tokyo Ghoul.
Whoa,
that's totally
Tokyo Ghoul is a very popular series with like girls and stuff like that.
It's for adults.
It's for adults, yeah. Himekawa Akira's Legend of Zelda manga.
I believe third that's the Twilight Princess one.
Yeah.
Number three is Kishimoto Masashi's Naruto.
What's Naruto?
Isayama Hajime's Attack on Titan. Number five, Kusaka Hidenori and Yamato Satoshi's Pokemon Adventures. Number six, One Punch Man. Number seven, Berserk. Number eight, Fairy Tail. Number nine, One Piece. And number 10, Dragon Ball Z manga.
How can Berserk be on that list if there hasn't been a new volume in the past 17 years?
Yeah, there's so many. No, the number six represents like the number of disappointed people like in the millions. Just like they just go through, they're like oh look at this, oh it just ends there, like we don't get anything new.
How can Fairy Tail be on this list if it's ended?
God, Fairy Tail finally ended. Yeah,
so is Naruto.
Yeah,
the age of Shinobi is over.
Has it. We have Boruto.
But yeah, it's going to. So, for those of you who are interested in like numbers and stuff, again, Fujo's rule the world apparently, or rule a lot of money. The last non-person related news this week is, or these past 2 weeks, is that for those of you who were watching Kakegurui or still watching it, which is the whole gambling anime based upon.
Is it because gambling is illegal in Japan?
Just to make the funny face.
Yeah, which is essentially, imagine Shokugeki no Soma, but with gambling. That's actually like the closest way I can describe it. But Kakigurui is taking a 1 week break because it doesn't want to clash with the schedule changes for the World Championships in Athletics.
I thought you were going to say World Championship Gambling.
Yeah. God
damn. The gambling anime makes room for real gambling. Yeah. Shit.
Tokyo MX, TVIT, and BS11 will instead air a special program with a cast commentary on the first episode. So look out for that. That's probably going to be like a 0.5 episode somewhere, included with BDs. But yeah, those are non-people news. As for the people news, first up, Mimi music group disbands, and the voice actress, one of the members behind the group, and the voice actress Yuki Taka will retire from the entertainment industry. So this Mimi Meme consists of voice actress Yuki Taka and Unsure Chamui. I guess it's like a single like singer or something like that, and then the illustrator is just making covers for them or something like that. But anyways, the group performed the theme songs for such anime as Blade and Soul, Nozokimi, Ane no Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches, Sweetness and Lightning, or Amama to Inazuma, and the second ending theme song for Akiva's Trip the Animation. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, in the announcement, the Mimi members thank their fans and staff who supported them for their future work. The members said that they would still like to express their feelings but in a different form. I don't know what that means, but okay.
Art. They're going to make art.
They're going to make a manga.
They might just also not have made enough money and they just want to kind of like freelance or like make it a hobby or something like that while doing other stuff.
Probably.
Yeah. Again, please wish them the best of luck as they change careers. Second, another appearance of this kind of shit. But a man has been Tokyo's Akasaka police station arrested 20-year-old fifth-year technical college student Tatsuya Onodera on Wednesday on the charge of interfering with work duties after he allegedly posted threats online to kill voice actress Uesaka Sumire. Police arrested Onodera in the Hyoridamachi area of Tsuruoka, Yamagata Prefecture, and he reportedly admitted to using his cell phone to post the threats. Good shit, my friend. According to police, Onodera posted threats such as, "I'll definitely murder her," on the internet message board 2chan in June. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah.
Yeah, why
don't
though?
Do this shit, please.
2chan. A great place that good people use.
Yeah. I forgot that Uesaka did Fubuki and Kankuma, actually. But anyways.
Yeah. She's easy to forget about, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, she does that, so like she does a good like an Ojo-sama Wally role, but like the other voices are
talking about Fubuki, but
yeah, Fubuki is awesome. Like when she's doing those sorts of voices, I'm just like, nah, like who is she again? Yeah. Next on the news. Voice actor Nami College Aisuke apologizes after adultery report. Japanese Publication Weekly Kunshin published an article on Wednesday claiming to have evidence that a voice actor, Nami Kawadaisuke, had an adulterous relationship with a female employee at his agency for many years. The 41-year-old voice actor issued a statement on his agency's website on the same day, apologizing for causing trouble with his personal affairs. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, don't do that shit. Apparently, he like started it up. Well, he was married in 2001, and he started his relationship around 2004, like adulterous relationship. And again, this is also like, I mean, Namikawa is a pretty big, pretty prolific voice actor, and also this sort of thing is more sensitive in like, Japan. So, again, unfortunate. Next piece of news, sorry, a little bit more somber. Hira Masaki, the composer behind the series Galaxy Express 999, has passed away. And he debuted as a singer, and then he went on to compose for anime and stuff like that. In 1974, he also opened the Masaki Music School, blah, 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 which also, you know, helped a lot of other talented singers come out from the woodworks. And in 2002, he established a nonprofit organization, Love and Harmony, which donates musical instruments and performances to elderly or disabled people on welfare. He did pass away, I believe, last Friday at the age of 79. So please wish condolences for his family and friends. And the last piece of news is Masao Shoichi, animator and director behind who worked on Macross, Do You Remember Love, some other Gainax projects, worked on Demon Bane, some other sort of, you know, stuff like Gunbuster, more like actiony kind of stuff. I guess, you know, since he was in Gainax, he did work on that, all that kind of stuff. But Studio Kara announced that this director, Masao Shoichi, passed away on Monday at the age of 57. So again, please do wish his family and friends condolences. And with that, you're done with the news segment, and we are on to our shoutouts and callouts. So, shoutouts is one thing from each person, something they would like to compliment, lather with praise, talk good about, expect good things from, give 5 stars on Yelp, whatever, and it can be anything. It can be one thing, one person, one series, one nation, whatever. And call it is the exact opposite thing. It is one thing that you would like to flame, that you're bothered about, you know, wakes you up at night, cold sweats, whatever, makes you vomit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it can be one thing, one person, one trend, one body of water, et cetera. And I guess I'll go first. I'm fucking calling out Yujitsu. I can't handle this shit. I know I'm also going to be talking about it in this next podcast. But Yujitsu, the full name is Yokoso Jitsuryoku Shijo Shugi no Kyojitsu, or Classroom of the Elite.
Yokoso Japari Park.
Yeah. the Japanese name is essentially like Welcome to the classroom where you have to sort of show off your real skills or like real values. But it's essentially dramatized fucking test. And I'm just like, okay, well, the drama doesn't make themes of fucking test from Dog Fucking Test any more impressive. And all you guys are just doing is just rehashing that shit. So I don't see why I should be impressed, but I know people are going to be like, but it's so complex, and then they go like,
but it's so relatable.
Yeah, it's so relatable. They all, like, learn individually, and they all have their own ways of expressing themselves that's not set by society and succeeding in society. I'm just like, you guys didn't give a fuck about that in Bakken Test, so why should I give a fuck about that in this series? Like, all right. Like, everybody was just like, haha, these are all idiots, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, they just, you know, that whole, like, moral lesson of, you know, even idiots can, you know, contribute, you know, have, like, their own value. Like, everybody just kind of, like, laughed at that and thought it was cute. But now, since it's, like, dramatic, it's super important. Like, I don't think so. But I fucking hate the monotone MC, which, again, dates back into why I was bugged out about that during the Princess Principal segment. Because the MC was just, like, the way he says this shit is just like, there's a difference between like being apathetic and being high. Like being apathetic is just like, man, whatever. It's like, I don't care about this. Kind of just like dropping it all off. Like the tone drops off because they're just like, they don't care. But the dude sounds like what, like, he just sounds high. He's just like, yeah, I didn't expect this either. Like, do you want some coffee or whatever the fuck it is? I'm just like, this man sounds like he's never, like, left the bong. Like, this is when he was born. Like, what's going on? And, I don't know. I just don't appreciate that kind of shit. So, yeah. Fuck that series. My shout-out
My shout out is to, honestly, it's to the people who I guess it's to actually Rikai-kun, because Rikai-kun is actually an extension on Chrome that it's actually really useful. Where it's like you download it, you turn it on, and then like you can hover. It translates. It sort of like pre-translates every Japanese website beforehand. And what you can do is you can then hover over like specific like texts, like whatever, blah, 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 and you can see like what Japanese word is, like what's the verb, stuff like that. And it's very useful because you don't have to like copy and paste every single thing. You can just hover over it and it just shows you. And it's super good. And I've been using that to browse through a lot of like shows that's like web novels, light novels. You know, I do this kind of shit because these are essentially as depressing as some of them might be in their contents or in terms of their how mediocre they are. This is the forefront of where Japanese media is going. What I'm reading here is in like 3 to 5, anywhere from 2 to 5 years, that's going to be the series you're going to be seeing on the anime. So I've been reading through some stuff, and it's 80% of it's due to Rikai-kun, so good shit. I'm shouting that shit out. Anyways, next up on the list is Dark. Shout out to Collins, please.
So I guess for my shout out, I'll do PSO2, because PSO2 got a sweet new class that's a lot of fun to play, called Hero. And it's fun.
You mean that class is basically better than every other class combined?
No, it's not. It's not that good. Nah, it's pretty good. It's like, I don't know, everyone's like, oh my god, it's the best class ever. I'd say it's like on par with Fighter,
which does more damage than Fighter. Amazing.
Does it, though?
It does. You ever see those 1 million damage like Hero Time finishes, along with 200k?
Oh, yeah, well,
200k, yeah, like, charge key blasts?
200k? What the fuck are they using?
Me? I did 200k with, like, the fully charged sword key blast.
Huh. Like, I think I've only seen, like, 40.
Are you not aiming for the weak points?
Yeah, I might not be critting it enough. Anyhow. I mean, you say, are you aiming for the weak points, but you really can't. For anything at PSO2, it's a fucking nightmare to use the targeting system in that game. But yeah. So that's the thing. And then my call out is going to be to Crunchyroll, because they're fucking awful, awful, awful subhumans that shouldn't be on this earth. And they ruined Suda Zude Children with their shitty subs that have fucking dead memes in them.
You should be grateful.
Yeah, I should be grateful that I have to watch this fucking show with Weeble stuff quotes in it. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about the Suri Zuri Children.
Hey, what if horrible subs just messed everything up, dude? What if it was their fault?
What if horrible subs just made a completely original script? Oh wait, they won't do that.
Sorry, you just made me laugh. Even if he really,
maybe you just funny. Can't relate because you're too old, Dark.
Crunchyroll is Listen, if there's anyone younger than me who gets that fucking meme, I'd be shocked.
Yeah. Oh Jesus.
Anyway. It took me a while to remember that meme, dude.
I remembered it instantly. I got triggered immediately. I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
I remember you posting that screenshot, and I was like, what's wrong here? And it took a while for it to click, and then when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute, holy shit.
Yeah, it's probably because it's a fucking old-ass meme. Like, it's terrible, and I hate it. And
which
I hate
one,
them, and they're so stupid.
Which one are you talking about? I forgot.
The Badger Mushroom one.
Oh, that one. Wow.
Then I posted that screenshot to Twitter and added Crunchyroll and told them that they should fire whoever is doing the subs for this show. And then I proceeded to be called out by someone who works for Crunchyroll. By the way, seen his videos before, he's a fuckboy. But he calls me out on Twitter going, those are horrible subs, though. Those look like horrible subs. And then I thought, well, no one could possibly be so stupid as to call me out and be like, those look like horrible subs, and then not know that their own subs have that in there. So I assumed that I was wrong for a while and was like,
That's like,
turns out I wasn't wrong, and Crunchyroll is actually really stupid. Who'd have thought?
The thing is, that's doubly triggering, because that keeps reminding people who are like, oh, did you watch horrible subs or whatever? Did you use horrible subs? And then they talk about like Crunchyroll like it's some completely like different thing. I'm just like, dude, they're the same thing. They're literally the same thing.
Like, yeah, I messaged him back. I was like, are you trying to say? I was like, this is a screenshot from Crunchyroll now. Were you trying to say that the problem here that I was saying was the fact that it was the font setting and not the fucking almost decade-old dead meme?
Yeah.
Didn't get a response after that.
Fucking triggered, honestly. Oh, Jesus.
It's also not the only time they've used that so far. In between episodes 1, 2, and 3, they're kind of all over the place. Like with derp and trolling.
XD.
At this point, I'm expecting fucking Kappa to show up at one point.
Lol.
Oh, Jesus.
Look forward to a video that I'm going to cut together eventually. Probably characters, within the next week.
Character is going to come on screen and be like, hey, Lamau, XD.
What's up?
And then they're going to dab and go off screen.
The emoji movie created by Crunchyroll, sponsored by Crunchyroll.
Oh, pretty much. That's what I was telling Spire. I was like, yo, what if Crunchyroll dubs this and then they actually put the memes in the show? Like, for gamers, they put the record scratch meme.
What if they just switch out the script for the emoji movie for any of like the series that they sub?
At this point, I don't even fucking know. They may as well have emojis at the fucking bottom for the translation. When a character's saying something's good, it may as well be the fucking... like the okay thing, and then the hundred, and then the flame. Like, for fuck's sake, it's lit, man.
Eyes.
Shake my head.
Alright. Hit him with them eyes.
Alright. Nier, shout us calls, please.
Damn, I had something, but that was just so full of energy. shout outs to Summer 2017 Wonder Festival. Just started today. Plenty of new and exciting figurines coming out. Always fun to see.
What was your favorite?
Probably the
censored one.
Yeah, the Futanari one I posted. That one's easily the highlight of the entire show. Callouts to I don't know. Anime? Anime's dead. Fuck anime.
Yeah. Why? Why does anime exist to make Miyazaki even sadder?
Yeah, I don't know why he ever invented anime.
Yeah, it's over. This is like the post Miyazaki era where everything's just desolation.
This is the Miyazaki has deserted us era.
Yeah. He's just like this, like a departed from the earth kind of thing.
He's
like,
forsaken us.
Yeah. You see his like, you see his spirit just wandering the desert like, this is anime now. All right. And last but definitely not least, Toast. Shout out to all of us, please.
Shout out to Crunchyroll.
Call out.
All right. You're never allowed on the podcast.
Shout out to Crunchyroll, who is currently now having a collaboration with Twitch for 6 days of anime. You can watch all your favorite anime, including
space. Including all of the ones that should be banned on Twitch because of the fucking content that they have.
Yeah.
Including Yojo Senki, Space
Patrol
Luko. Is Tenshin Nosaki licensed by Crunchyroll? I'm just wondering.
I don't think so.
Kimono Friends coming up on the 3 a.m. block.
I mean, Kobayashi is more than enough to get them banned from their own fucking website.
Yeah.
I'm staying up for Kimono Friends.
Craig, yeah, awesome. But yeah, if you are interested, please do check it out. It's like a marathon.
They had fucking Yojo Senki and Joker Game back to back, and I was like, wow. from one boring series to another.
I had to skip
your. Don't worry, Real Life is on now.
The problem is, like, why? Like, how did they just. Like, I don't understand where they, like, kind of selected the series from. Maybe like, I just. Because like, it's not like.
They just went back, like, two seasons, and then they're just like, yeah, just throw it in there.
You just close your eyes and just did stuff.
Because they have Ludoloco in there, right? It's like, well, okay. Yeah. I don't think they have Kiznaiver in there, because I don't know.
No, Crunchyroll have that?
Yes. Crunchyroll, wasn't Crunchyroll like a big funder of Kiznaiver to begin with?
I don't remember, man.
They had Boon.
I'm wiping that shit from my memory.
Yeah, they also held an event for the premiere of Boku no Hero Academia, so.
They had Bungo Season 1 and 2, like, back-to-back. They had Mob Psycho 100.
Yuri on Ice.
Yeah, of course they have Yuri on Ice. Crunchyroll thinks Yuri on Ice is God's fucking gift.
By the way, shout-outs to Crunchyroll for posting sick fucking Season 2 spoilers of Bungo Stray Dogs and a character death in a fucking video clip on Twitter with no context whatsoever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're real cool. Real cool with that shit.
Shake my head. All right. And what's your call out to us?
My call out is to Ragnarok Online.
Why?
I started playing it again and I feel terrible about playing it.
I'm pretty sure you said the exact same thing last podcast.
Well, I'm still playing it. Also, it's been getting DDoSed for the past couple days, and I haven't been able to level. So I am very, very upset. You can tell.
Who the fuck DDoSes? Whatever, dude.
Brazilians.
DDoSing not an even... old-ass fucking game.
Brazilian? They're not really DDoSing it. It's just like 10 people tried to log in at the same time.
like our current server capacity is like 5K, and it's always like pushing that. And then the Brazilians got mad. DDoSed. Brazilians and Filipinos still play, you know. I mean, but us Filipinos have our own server now, so I don't think they're bothering us.
It's gotta be the Brazilians.
No racists.
Alright.
BR?
We are done with series. So
Toast, shout out to Brazil.
Toast just like threw me off the tracks again. But yeah, we are done with the episode for now. Again, we will be covering more of the series that you guys might want to hear about, or even if you guys want just a series to talk about.
I forgot the title. Tenshi no Sanpi.
Yes, Tenshi no Sanpi. Like, if we might be talking about that soon.
And Abyss Maiden.
We already talked about Maiden Abyss. So.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. If you do like what we do, we stream this. We stream our live recording of our episodes, our podcasts, every other Saturday at starting from 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At twitch.tv/4playanimecast. That's with the number 4. So please follow us there. You can also follow us on social media for all the updates on whatever, you know, our group is doing on Facebook and on Twitter at 4ppanimecast, also with the number 4. We also have all of our contact text, sidecasts, thoughts, whatever, on our main website, 4playanimecast.moe. So you can check that out there. It is available both on Twitch, on YouTube, and on MP3 on, like, you know, iTunes, Google Play, blah blah blah. So you can download it all on the go. We talk about the latest and greatest in, you know, anime, manga, visual novels, light novels, whatever. And we're actually pretty busy this summer season, so you'll be seeing a lot of pretty packed episodes from us, or at least, you know, a couple of episodes. But yeah, so check us out there. Follow us here. And as always, see you next time. Okay.
Anime sucks.
Man.